I want to thank you very much for inviting me to this Courage Conference. I think I've been to maybe 7 or 8 now. And it's always most invigorating to my faith to come and to be with you and to see how seriously you take your Catholic faith and how important it is for you to look always to Jesus Christ. So this conference is unlike any conference that I go to, because everyone is united in that seeking the face of our Lord Jesus Christ. I used to tell the members of our Courage group that I would always be most thankful if they were members of my parish community, because of the faith that they live, the faith that they love, the faith that they practice. So thank you for giving me a boost, a spiritual boost, to my faith by what you do here at the conference. In yesterday's homily, Bishop Papraki talked about the cathedral in Springfield and how the architecture is similar to this, and how the stained glass windows in that cathedral depict the primacy of Jesus and his church over the world, especially over the political realm. And I couldn't help thinking about the cathedral in St. Paul that was built by Archbishop Ireland at the turn of the 20th century. And that cathedral sits up on a hill, and Archbishop Ireland made sure that the cathedral was on higher ground than the Minnesota State Capitol. The Capitol is less than a mile away, and his intention was to have a visible, physical representation of the primacy of Christ in his church over the world. So when you go to St. Paul, the capital of Minnesota, you can see those two buildings, and I kind of smile to myself each time as I see the cathedral is just a little bit taller than the state capitol. Today we celebrate the feast of St. Alphonsus Liguori, and he was one of the great moral theologians in the church. He's a doctor of the church. And he grew up in Italy and lived for most of the 18th century. He was 91 when he finally passed away. But he was a very intelligent man. He had degrees in both civil law and canon law, church law. And he began his career by practicing civil law. And he entered into that practice with great enthusiasm. But during that practice of civil law, he made an error of judgment. And he thought to himself, you know, this really is not the place for me. If I want to be free from error, I need to attach myself to Jesus and his church. So it was kind of a time of conversion for him, and he became a priest, and he ministered really to the poorest of the poor. And so his moral theology was practiced and really shaped by working with poor people, the disadvantaged, prostitutes, the street people. These were the people that he worked with. So his moral theology was very, very practical and down to earth. There was nothing pie in the sky about St. Alphonsus's moral theology. Very practical. And so he practiced his faith by giving himself to those who were poor and eventually founded the Redemptorist Order to help him in his work, continue his work after he died. He used to give retreats, and that's what the Redemptorists today are really known for, are their retreats. So very practical, holy man, good, solid, moral theologian. And when I think of good, solid, moral theologian, my thoughts naturally go to Father Harvey. And he was very much down to earth. Nothing ivory tower, nothing Pollyannish, but good, practical, balanced, moral theology. And he was a son of St. Francis de Sales, so he was a Salesian. And St. Francis was known as a spiritual director, very good, good, balanced spiritual director. And Father Harvey was the same way. I remember a couple instances where he manifested that good, sound moral theology here at the Courage Conference. There was one time where he gave his talk, very good talk. Then he answered questions afterwards. And one of the questions from the audience asked about being chaste, living a chaste life, but mentioned that just in case he was slipped, he had a condom ready for the time where he might slip. He didn't want to slip, but just in case, he had that set aside for himself. And Father Harvey, I remember him looking, and then he kind of looked over here, and the fellow was looking for advice on what he should do. And Father Harvey just looked here, looked there, looked up, and said, "Throw it away." I thought, that's perfect. I mean, it's like somebody on a diet having a candy bar, big chocolate bar, stashed away someplace. Just in case, you know, just in case. But Father Harvey, very practical, throw it away. Then there was another time, this was at another conference, and again gave his talk very beautifully. And someone asked him about sin and how difficult it is for us to say no to sin and yes to Jesus Christ. And he quoted something from St. Francis de Sales. He said, "The reason why it's so difficult for us to say no to sin and yes to Christ is because we love the sin too much. We don't want to give it up." And after hearing that answer by Father Harvey, I said to myself, boy, that is so true. And that's why temptations are temptations. They're tempting us to that sin that we still love so much. So the talk we heard this morning about uprooting that sin, not just cutting the dandelion off at the top, but uprooting that sin is so important. We have to get down to the roots. And what gets to the roots and helps us is Jesus. He's the one, he's the gardener who helps us uproot those weeds, those dandelions in our life. So think about that. You know, we love sin too much. It's been very, very helpful to me. So those two instances show how practical and what a solid moral theologian Father Harvey was. And Courage is blessed to have another solid moral theologian in Father Check. I know when Father Harvey was searching for a successor, One of his qualifications was the person had to be a good, solid, moral theologian. And so courage has been blessed. It took a while to look, but finally Father Cech was chosen. Excellent, good, solid, balanced, moral theologian. And in his talk, he told us, Father Cech told us, to, at the bottom, to trust in Jesus Christ. How important it is for us to put ourselves into the hands of the one who loves us with an infinite love. To trust Jesus Christ. And how difficult that can be. It's difficult for anyone who's trying to live a holy life. Sometimes we just don't trust Jesus. So to work on that wholehearted trust of Jesus Christ. And there's a little analogy that I like to use with people, and they seem to remember it, and it reminds them of how Jesus Christ should be the one person in their life. Let's say we're going on vacation, and we're going on vacation with Jesus. And so time to come and rent a car. So we rent a car, and we rent that car to go on a vacation, really to drive the path of life. So the question comes in our minds, you know, where should Jesus sit? Where should Jesus be? Some people would say, well, we'll put him in the trunk. That way we won't have to deal with him so much, you know, he'd still be with us. Still be on vacation with him, riding through life with Jesus, but he'll be in the trunk. We might hear a, every once in a while, oh, yeah, that's Jesus. Yeah, he's back there. Or some might say, well, maybe Jesus could sit in the back seat. And then he'll be a backseat driver. And sometimes it'll be difficult for me to hear Jesus because I like a convertible. We'll rent a convertible and, you know, all the wind blows and we can't quite hear the person in the back seat. But that's okay. Jesus is back there. He's riding with me. I can hear him every once in a while. But he's still in the back seat. Another might say, well, you know, I love Jesus. He can ride up front with me. He can ride beside me. And he'll be with me, and I can talk with him. He'll be my passenger, and I'll drive, and we'll have a really good time, because I'm sure Jesus is a great conversationalist. But think of this. The person who really loves Jesus will say, let Jesus do the driving. Put him in the driver's seat, and then we go along with him on the path of life. And that's what we really should try to do. And sometimes, and all of us do this, put Jesus in the trunk or the back seat or the front seat. We might feel good, pretty good about that front seat. But let Jesus do the driving. So to think of that kind of analogy, it might help you to let Jesus do the driving, the directing in our lives. So that's just a little piece of advice following along with my thought about St. Alphonsus, St. Francis de Sales, Father Harvey, and Father Cech. Very practical way of thinking about things. Let Jesus do the driving. Throw away the condoms. Let Jesus have our heart. Let him uproot the sin. And our vacation, our driving tour with Jesus, if he's driving, will lead us to eternal life.